Thank you.
I will talk to you in a little while.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. Well, I'm the luckiest girl in the world at this moment because I am speaking with you. So I'm just extending my deep appreciation. And I'd like to start by saying that, of course, I had a bunch of notes ready for this session. And yesterday, I just accidentally deleted it all. And I went, well, there's a reason for that. And we're just going to have a discussion. And and start trusting that my intuition and trusting that you're going to bring up what I need to hear at this point. But that being said, there's two interesting things I'd like to ask you first. One, starting with a dream. And this was a dream fragment that I had a couple of weeks ago. And this particular fragment was at the very end before I woke up. And I was looking at either myself or someone else holding a flat piece of amethyst. It wasn't pointed. It was just like a flat rock that had been cut in half. And somebody had like a small drill bit and was drilling they were making it into like a sculpture, but they were drilling the outline of a city, kind of like the skyline of New York City. And I was watching this being done. And then, right before I woke up, I heard the sentence, "The emeralds have already been cut." And I'm not quite getting that.
Any impression?
Well, unless the emeralds could be in reference to the books. Elias, I don't know.
I would say this is a dream in association with the future. This is a dream in association with the city. The future city.
Ah.
In that, I would say that what you were generating in imagery was connecting with the city, and in that the amethyst, or let us say the gemstone, that were being cut or that were already cut were access points to the book. Just as in the city, in the library, there are all of the tiles, which when the tiles are touched, they activate and they create portals, in a manner of speaking. They activate in different capacities, and you can access experiences and information through that action of touching the tile. I would say that, as we discussed in the beginning of this forum, when we were discussing the city more frequently, there is also in the city a museum, an art museum, And in that, there are different expressions, different manifestations that also do similar actions to the tiles in the library. In the museum, there is an area that has antiquities, but it also has an area that is designated for different stones and what they activate. And in this, these stones activate a reference point to the library in connection with the library, and in which they activate the availability or the reference point to these books. Each one interprets a different color in relation to a different animal or a different subject with animals.
So to tie that all up and how it's related to me, does
there
it...
Your...
I'm sorry, you cut out, Elias.
Are your books.
Okay.
Therefore, that is how it is related to you.
Okay.
You are the author. What you have presented to yourself in this dream imagery is that these books are actually in the future city.
Oh, fuck. Because, Elias, this is, you know, there's many topics. I mean, what I really want to do, I mean, going through this material, this is what just makes my life buzz right now, is this material. And I'm not so much interested in writing the books about, you know, preaching, for lack of a better word, about the Elias material, but the particular subjects, as you're aware. So it's not just creatures, you know, it's just... They're, you know, am I going in the right direction? Okay. And how I wanted to tie this in, this is interesting. I was almost a little bit embarrassed to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Right before the session started, I had the download to just go get something. It's a jade stone and jade beads that somebody sent me about 4 years ago, and one of them is pre-Columbian, and I'm reading it. It's a quote-unquote God FSG pendant from Costa Rica that's pre-Columbian. And I had the impression to just go get it and put it on a string and put it around my neck and wear it. And I'm like, where is this coming from? So I did that. So is this a maybe a piece, I have it here, that I had in another focus? Okay.
That particular one, but yes, very similar.
Well, it was interesting because I put it around my neck and called Mary and we were talking and then the line cut out. And so I couldn't reconnect and something said, well, just take this necklace off. And I did. And then I was able to reconnect. Was there anything in relation to that?
That you have participating in that focus with you. And in that, there was a dispute about those beads. Therefore, I would say that that created a conflicting energy. It is understandable what you were engaging, that you were going to find the bead because it does represent a connection with you and Michael. But then once you are engaging in this interaction with myself, it is understandable that that would create an interference.
Wow, so each of us wanted the beads.
Yeah.
And so that just goes to show, that's not necessarily that we have a conflict now, it just goes to show
interconnection
and the bleed throughs and how other focuses are influencing because of simultaneous time.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. So I don't have to, I don't have to be scared to wear this necklace. Okay.
I would say it merely was, in this moment, a catalyst that allowed you to generate more information about connection.
That's amazing. Wow. That really makes you pay attention to impulses and intuition. Things like this. Yes. Elias, I really wanted to go into what this whole pandemic means to me. You know, given that it has to do with differences and self-directing and self-structuring, and I'm going to say maybe a large percent of it for me was maybe leading me towards a different perception. And this is what I'm going to say, Elias, is because before this pandemic, you know, I felt like for 10 years, I fell off the fast-moving train. And I was running and running and running to catch up with everybody else. And I just couldn't seem to accomplish. You know, I just couldn't get there. And I was getting so frustrated. And, you know, Elias, I think, is it a matter of timing? Do I have bad energy? Am I going against my natural flow? Why is it that I can't get back on that train, you know? And what happened is the train stopped. And now I've caught up with it and I'm actually kind of on the outside walking. I feel like I might even be a little bit ahead of people because I've already had so much trauma. And I'm kind of looking in. I'm actually now passing the train. And then a part of me is like, I don't even know if I want to be on that train anymore.
And you don't.
So would you say that's the biggest reflection for me is the change in perception?
That is definitely a very significant piece.
Okay.
Yes. And remember, this is also what I was expressing previously, and what I have been expressing with other individuals also. Difference in relation to this mass event isn't only about differences between yourselves and other people.
Mm-hmm.
It is also in relation to your own differences with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, Elias, has a big part of this why I haven't been able to get on that train? I mean, Because, you know, I just, now I feel so fortunate. I mean, I look back and I'm like, thank God, you know, I didn't start accumulating horses or houses with big mortgages and car payments and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Because right now, you know, a lot of those things are going away for people.
Right.
And I'm actually doing...
I would say that if you had moved in that direction and if you had created something similar and made those things go away, you would have overwhelmed yourself to a point in which it may have been irreparable.
Yes. Yes.
As this experience would have been so similar.
Yeah. It's an interesting line as you said that, and you know, I'm talking to you right now, and I had out of my vision, I thought I was going to pass out. I had those sparks come in again, but they weren't necessarily black sparks. They were like a yellow spark or something, and I got kind of woozy. Is that me releasing energy?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm still having, you know, problems sleeping and stuff, and I still wake up and go, oh my God, all that planning and control in my life, and wow, it really, you know, I guess I'm changing the perception to where it didn't get me anywhere, and I've just been a colossal failure, to maybe what all this stuff that happened set me up for ultimately what I want.
Because, let me reiterate to you that you always follow your desire. And in following your desire, it doesn't always seem that you are doing something beneficial for yourself. And at times, it may be very difficult. And it may be even sometimes to the extent of traumatizing. But I would say that nevertheless, it is a matter of recognizing that you move in those directions, that your desire is still that driving engine, and eventually, if you are willing and if you are able, in a manner of speaking, you will see that whatever it was that seemed to be holding you back or seemed to be very dramatic or very intense or difficult or very negative or even traumatizing, that it moved you in a direction to eventually express your desire, even with situations in which there is considerable trauma. People in many situations will create other traumas to break them free of the worst trauma. Are you understanding?
I am. And, you know, when you told me once before the hammer falls, do you recall that?
Yes.
That's not just in relation to the horse industry, correct? Okay. And Elias, is there anything that right now, if I want to just flow and navigate, and I guess what my biggest fear is, oh my gosh, the reality is going to change so much, and, you know, we've had this discussion before, but I mean it kind of on a different level. Should I not want nice things again? Is it going to change so that nothing, that the things that I desire, it's the reality is going to be so different that, you know, don't even think, just be grateful for what you have and struggle for what you have. You know, like I want to go with Sis to, you know, in January to the Mayan pyramids so badly. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, we're not going to do air travel or I'll never get the money to do it. And should I not even dream of, you know, the chateau that I want or having horses again?
I would say to you, my friend, an encouragement. And moving in the direction of making those dreams a reality. Your reality is changing, but not in those manners. In some capacities, but not in the manner in which you can't or shouldn't move in the direction of your dreams.
And what would be the thing for me to watch out for the most or to be aware of the most so that I flow the best? I mean, Elias, you know, I work daily at all of this stuff, and I'm just wondering if I'm doing, you know, if I'm flowing.
Sure.
Okay.
I would say definitely. And what I would say to you, my friend, is I know you are a thinker. Don't use that to be overanalyzing.
Okay. Well, I'll use that to move into a question I've had. When I'm doing the series of sessions with Karen, with the group session, often the main thing that I feel is like a movement or almost like a tightness in the third eye area, in the indigo center, and in the forehead. Is that having to do with the thinking, or is that something else? I mean, even though she's working on the other centers, that's where I'm feeling the effect in my body.
I would say that is encouraging. That is you experiencing that construction of new neurological pathways.
And why am I picking it up in these group sessions? Is it just because I'm quiet enough to feel it, or that they're happening more in those sessions?
I would say somewhat of both, because partially it is that you are paying attention differently, but I would also say that it isn't necessarily that it is happening more, but that it is enhanced, that collective energy creates an amplification, and therefore that is also why you experience it more, or you are more aware of it.
Because of the other people there, the group causes an amplification, correct? Oh, I have a question to ask then. If she's using like the, I hope I got this right, the 62 or the 162 fork or the one she typically uses to start out with, I had the impulse during one of the sessions to do my fork of the same frequency. And it seemed like there was like a buzzing effect on my end. Was that an enhancement of what she was doing?
Yes.
So that's beneficial.
I would say yes, because you are creating a harmony.
And Elias, why does it seem that people are reluctant to join these group sessions? Not that I'm particularly concerned about it, but it just kind of surprises me. Or is it that a particular group of us kind of want to keep it that way? You know what I mean?
And once again, I would say both. And in relation to that, I would say that yes, that your group is content to remain expressing in the manner that they are. But I would also say that other people are somewhat reluctant to participate because they may not be objectively aware of this, but they are reluctant to be engaging unfamiliar changes.
Mm-hmm.
They have an inner sense that they are engaging that things will change for them, and they are reluctant to do that, especially now. People are very suspicious of changes now because they have been overwhelmed and inundated with changes that they perceive are not their choice, and that they are almost victims of. Therefore, anything that they sense will generate change, they are very suspicious of. I would say this is the next challenge that is coming, is that now people have moved in a direction of seeking and finding some bit of solace and safety in isolation, that moving forward
Interesting.
Therefore, point moving forward, you are trading one fear for another fear. This is part of what I was expressing previously, that yes, your reality is changing and it isn't moving back to what it was. And as you move forward, there still are stages that you are moving through that are still about these three subjects. And people are still afraid. Mm-hmm. And now, rather than being afraid of the virus, they're afraid of each other. Which, this is another piece that may be interesting to some of you, how quickly masses adapt. How quickly they accept the suggestions that are being given to them, and then how quickly they adapt to them, and then thusly incorporate a movement into uncertainty and fear all over again. Because they have adapted to the new situation. Now they are accustomed to not being as interactive or interacting in different manners, not in physical proximity, and they are accustomed to distancing themselves. They are accustomed to engaging certain activities in their life in different manners. They are accustomed to their reality having changed to being something very different from what it was before. Now they are on the brink of another change. And the fear settles in again.
Interesting. Is there anything else you'd like to say on that, Elias?
Again, encouraging for all of you to be involved, to be doing, to be encouraging in manners that don't promote the fear.
Okay.
That doesn't mean, once again, we'll reiterate this, telling people that there's nothing to be afraid of. That doesn't mean being dismissive of other people's cautions and their also doesn't mean for any of you to be silent and compromising. It is a matter of honoring self and honoring other people.
Okay. Okay. Well, Elias, I think how I want to take this now is you, in my previous sessions, the last couple of years, you were encouraging me to reengage that aristocratic aspect of myself that as a child, it was discouraged. And what I've noticed recently is that there's just been a change in my demeanor. It's just the little things I do. I don't even hesitate now to express what I want. Just as an example, I stopped by to make an appointment to have something minor done for my car, and they said they'd get right back with me, and they didn't. And before I'd be, oh my God, well, they didn't call me back. I can't push them or whatever. And now I'm like, oh, fuck that. Call. And then call again or stop by. I'm noticing that in myself. Is that like moving more into an aristocratic self-directedness?
Yes.
And I just want to make sure I'm on the right track at kind of re-engaging. I think it's just finding your self-importance.
I agree. Most definitely.
And, Elias, I have been using the EMDR that we did, that treatment or therapy session we did on other things that come up. Oh my God, I had another experience about an animal that I think I was able to move through. It was anger. I was in just seeing another animal injured and killed, working through that. I can't specifically, just some, just whatever comes up, I'll work with it. And I'm wondering if there's like a big something that I'm missing. Is there a memory that is like the mother from which all these other tentacles come out? Because honestly, I sat down and made a list of memories from my childhood, and most all of them are trauma related. I don't really remember anything nice. And then when I categorized them, they came down to like shame, bad, or not deserving. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I merely expressed congratulations. That is excellent that you were giving yourself that recall and that you were evaluating these experiences and even being able to categorize them mm-hmm. is actually considerable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if there was any remaining that I would probably need to work through with you or what comes up if I'm able to work through it myself?
I would say mostly the latter.
Okay.
What I would say to you is you will know the difference. That if you encounter a memory that you recall and you do your exercise with it and it doesn't reduce the emotional charge or eliminate it. And if you do it several times and it doesn't yield a result in which you are significantly reducing or eliminating the emotional charge, and you keep having flashes of it, then you will know.
Okay.
That is a memory that you require help with.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've had one I've been working with, but I've only been through it once, so I will work with it a couple more times.
Very well. I would say that even with something that is tremendously traumatic, I would say that if you move through this process and this exercise, I would say 3 times, it should dissipate it considerably. If it doesn't, then there is more to it than simply what you are automatically recalling.
Okay. Yeah, there's one I may need some help with, but I'm going to work on it myself first.
Very well.
Yeah. And then the biofield tuning is helping me with some of this, correct?
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, after these sessions, sometimes it's not pretty. Some of the stuff that just kind of floods up. And,
I understand.
Yeah.
Remember also that in addition to the actual experiences, there is the judgment of those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that also interplays with all of this. That the judgment that you generate about your experiences colors them considerably. And that in most of your experiences, the judgment that you have now wasn't necessarily present or the same as when the experience occurred.
Right. I hear you and I understand what you're saying.
That is a significant piece also.
Okay.
And let me say to you, this is genuinely significant, that at the time of a certain experience, now this depends on whether you were a child or an adult, because that actually does make a difference. As a child, your judgment may either be different or non-existent about certain experiences because you aren't looking at those experiences from the perspective of it being right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in relation to the experiences as a child, it is important for you to be acknowledging the difference between what your judgment is now and what your judgment may have been then.
Okay.
as an adult in experiences that you may have had as an adult that you may be recalling, and that you may not have had the same judgment of those experiences at the time as you do now. What is important for you to remember is that at the time, you may not have had certain judgments about certain experiences or certain choices, because in order to survive, it was necessary to not have judgment. Are you understanding?
I am, Elias. Thank you.
Therefore, what I would say in that is not...
Boy, one just came up.
And not to be judging yourself more harshly for not having a judgment at the particular time of the experience, because in relation to your psyche, it may have been necessary for you to not have a judgment, and for you to simply move in whatever direction choices and experiences you had at the time, because that is in part survival.
And Elias, it's no coincidence you're telling me that, because there is a big one that I did. Okay, and it happened around when I was 21?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Fuck. Yeah.
I would say that there are some experiences that people engage as an adult that they may be recalling now, and those experiences may be reprehensible to you.
Yes.
That you are aghast that you could even engage such an experience. And then even more judgment, because you recognize that you did something at the time and you felt nothing about it. You simply did it. Or you felt justified in doing whatever it was that you were doing. And in that compounds the judgment now. And what I would say to you is, remember, you engaged the best that you could with the perception that you had. And some of the choices, some of the directions and experiences that you may have engaged previously, you may have expressed in relation to survival. And therefore, you can't judge them by the present standards. Because even at that point, if you would have actually allowed yourself to access your own standards, your own guidelines, you would have been appalled. But you weren't, or you didn't, because you were in mode of survival.
Fuck, Elias, thank you. Thank you. Woo! Two big memories. Thank you.
That is very important to remember.
Okay. Thank you. a lot. Oh, please.
Benefit to you now to stew and judge yourself for the past.
Yeah.
The point is to understand it and to move through it. Mm-hmm. Not to hold on to it in relation to judgment.
Okay. Elias, we're down to the last couple of minutes. I wanted to, and God, thank you. I understand the depth of what you're saying there. I wanted to say two things about physical manifestations. One is a tooth, upper right molar, that I'm having some issues with, and I hesitate to go to the dentist because of the expense and because I know they're going to want to pull it, and I really don't want to pull it because I want to keep the teeth that I have until I can do a major restoration. And something told me just to go on some antibiotics, which I have now, and I'm using some visualizations for it. Is that adequate enough, or am I damaging my body consciousness by not having it taken out or otherwise?
No, I would say at this point that you definitely could move in those directions, and that it isn't necessary presently to have it removed, and that you wouldn't be damaging your body consciousness. I would encourage you to monitor.
Okay.
And as you know, teeth can be very affecting of the entire body.
Exactly.
Therefore, what I would express is, yes, you definitely can move in this direction and be successful, and I would simply express to be aware and monitor what you are experiencing, and if you begin to experience becoming ill, which is unlikely, but if you did, then I would encourage you to change tactics.
Okay, thank you. And Elias, the last thing is, I'm just very inflexible, and in spite of doing the stretchings and the yoga and the stuff like that, I'm very athletic in that, I have a lot of strength and cardiovascular fitness, but, I've always had problems with my knees, and my knees just don't bend anymore. I can't squat. And is this something that I can resolve as I resolve a lot of this right brain to left brain stuff? Or
yes.
Or do I have to have surgeries? Or?
No. And what I would say is move slowly with the body consciousness.
Okay.
Force. Move in gentle movement. And in that, simply be consistent and persistent.
Okay. Okay. Any suggestions other than what I'm doing now? I mean, am I missing a supplement? I've started adding some magnesium spray to my body at night. You know what I'm asking? Is there anything I can do along those lines?
Okay.
And I guess we'll kind of wrap it up a little bit, Elias. I mean, we have just like 2 or 3 minutes left. Is there anything you'd like to add and I'm willing to listen to whatever you have to say. Huge.
Continue to move in the direction of engaging that relationship and nurturing that, and I am tremendously acknowledging of your movement in that direction.
Thank you. Thank you.
Therefore, is there anything I would say to you? I would say congratulations.
Thank you, Elias.
And acknowledge you, and I would express to you, well done, and continue on.
Thank you, Elias.
Very welcome. I would also encourage you to acknowledge you.
Okay.
And in that, it doesn't mean expressing to yourself every day, I am great. But rather, acknowledging yourself in gratitude for what you know and what you are accomplishing.
Thank you, Elias.
And that you are actively giving yourself information, and that you deserve that gratitude toward yourself that you would express to anyone else.
Thank you.
If they were giving to you, therefore give it to you also.
I shall.
And I express tremendous, tremendous support to you, my dear friend. I love you. I hold you, and I encourage you. Until our next meeting, I express dear friendship and tremendous
affection. Au revoir.